3rd. Good morning. Welcome, and let the record show that the House Resources Committee was convened at 8:04 a.m. Present are Representative Josephson, Representative Heron, Representative Tyler, Representative Seaton, and Representative Johnson is here, and we have Senator Stoltz in the audience. Thank you for attending, Mr. Senator, and Representative Gaddis. She'll be making a presentation here pretty soon, and also present is myself and co-chair Tyler Rico. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off your cell phones, which I already did. Thank you. Today we have House Joint Resolution 301 support oil and gas leases on Arctic OCS before the committee. In total, the lease extensions needed for the Alaska offshore. In total, Shell has invested approximately $7 billion to purchase and prosecute its Alaska leases. External factors have delayed this project, including new requirements that have restricted the season length, multiple federal court and administrative challenges, appeals, and remands that have impacted the federal government's ability to permit Shell's exploration activities. Since 2007, Shell has missed out on 6 drilling seasons due to delays associated with legal challenges and permit delays. Since July of 2014, Shell has had a request pending with the DOI for a 5-year lease extension. Challenging and unpredictable federal regulatory environment for Alaska Arctic offshore exploration is very prevalent. We know that. Every change in regulatory framework that would not allow for both rigs to drill at the same time only allowed one well in 7 years. The 2015 season only allowed one well that cost $1.4 billion to complete. The federal government's reduction of the 2015 program to one well was devastating to Shell, and the federal government rejection of modifying that restriction for 2016 gave Shell little choice but to cancel future exploration. I point these out because, as you know, the area which I represent have all the resources that we have enjoyed all these years for taxation and our revenues for our governor. It also includes a lot of jobs. And not only for our borough, but for the state as well. And so I point these out because we are also restricted from going on land on our own lands. In our own lands, we can't even drill or explore in our own lands. So what else do we have left after this is all taken away for the betterment of the local governments and also the state of Alaska? I've been talking over the years about how important it is to do things in a safe and environmentally friendly way, and we have done that over the years in the North Slope and other places. And one of the things that we do is keep the feet to the fire of those who are wanting to work in our backyard. So it is important that we point these things out because it is frustrating. for the future of my grandkids and those who will come after us. What do they have? What will they have? And so get off my high horse and say that we please take your cell phones off and thank you. We have SJR 301 support oil and gas leases on Arctic OCS before the committee. I'll ask Representative Gaddis and her staff, Tyson Chandler, to explain the resolution. Please come forward and identify yourself for the record. And we have in the audience the Honorable Speaker, Mr. Chanel. Thank you for attending. Go ahead, Madam.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, my name is Representative Lynn Gaddis, and I represent the Greater Wasilla area. And thank you for letting me be here to present and talk about House Joint Resolution 301. So if I could, mere months after approval of a single exploratory well on the Arctic Outer Continental Shelf, and days after Shell announced it was no longer exploring for oil and gas in the Arctic, the Obama administration and the Department of Interior canceled previously scheduled future leases, lease sales in the Chukchi and the Beaufort Seas. At the same time, the United States Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement denied Shell and Statoil requests for lease suspensions in the same area. Once again, the federal government is stifling Alaska's economy and our very way of life. A decision to cancel future lease sales and deny lease extensions is, quite frankly, crippling to Arctic OCS.
Pardon me, ma'am. Representative Gaddis, present is Representative Olson.
Pardon me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Proceed.
It likely would set the program back for 20 years. What Obama is doing is forcing companies to go through the entire permitting process again, just to explore years of bureaucracy and almost certain litigation, just to get back to the point that we were at, allowing only one well after 7 years and $7 billion invested by Shell is just unacceptable. Let's remember what happened at Prudhoe Bay and what it's done to our state. Dozens of wells were drilled in the Prudhoe area, and they were all deemed disappointing. The geology suggested that was a great spot for oil, but you know, the wells just weren't hitting. The most important thing, the state kept leasing. Nearly every company left, but ARCO stayed one more well. And they went all in. Likely would have gone bankrupt, but they hit it with that one well. It changed everything for all of us. Many of us that were here before oil remember a very different Alaska. The Arctic OCS is one of the last elephants out there. One exploratory well and canceled lease sales doesn't cut it for Alaska. We strongly oppose the recent decisions. We need two things from the federal government, or we're at risk of losing all future Arctic lease investment. One, we need lease extensions. Number two, improved regulatory rules and process. Quite simply, we're recommending the federal government reconsider its recent decisions and not stand in the way of vital economic activity in our state. Alaskans have safely developed all types of oil, gas, minerals, timber, fisheries since statehood. Over that time, Alaska state and local governments have developed regulatory practices that work for all stakeholders, and don't prohibit the activities that drive our very state's economy. We encourage those activities at every level of government in Alaska. And essentially, Mr. Co-Chair, that's exactly what House Joint Resolution 301 asks the federal government, to basically stand down and re-extend those leases and let us do what we do best, resource development.
Thank you very much. Any questions, discussions on the presentation by Representative Gaddis? Representative Heron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No questions for the sponsor. Just like to provide comment.
is that I support the resolution, and for the following reasons. Is in May of 2013, the Obama administration released the National Strategy for the Arctic Region. And then in January of 2014, they released the implementation for this national strategy. And what's remarkable about it, the number one effort is to advance the United States security interests of the national, or the within the national strategy of the Arctic region. And it's and the title is to provide for future United States energy security. And what it says is that the Obama administration and the United States is committed to working with stakeholders, industry, other Arctic states to explore the energy resource base, develop and implement best practices, and share experiences to enable the environmentally responsible production of oil and natural gas as well as renewable energy. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the number one strategy in the national strategy for the Arctic region. And then also in the implementation plan, it says, we wish to ensure the safe and responsible development of non-renewable energy resources, to ensure safe and responsible exploration and development of onshore and offshore Arctic non-renewable energies in an environmentally sound manner. So this strategy has just been released, and to be impolite, they're talking out both sides of their mouths. They say this is what they want to do, especially for the Arctic region, and then they take steps to counter that implementation plan within the national strategy. So, Mr. Chairman, I support the resolution.
Anyone else? You know, I've been talking about over the years how not only to the people here in the state and also in the chambers, but also when we go to Washington, D.C. to educate the legislators there. Mostly we go there to talk to the aides because those are the people who do the work, and there's so much turnover. And so we have to educate our colleagues on a federal level. The legislators, and we tell them the same thing. And I tell the same story every time I go there because it's important for everybody to know how I came back from the service to a changed world. My world was changed when I came back from the Army. I came to a borough sanctioned by the state of Alaska. Things were changing. We had our own destiny in our own hands. And oil was discovered. And in fact, before I left back in 69, I keep telling this story. My first job as out of high school was a jug hustler in Puerto Bay. Puerto Bay and my life has been intertwined, seems like, from the very beginning. And when I came back from the Army, I came back to a different world. We had corporations, for crying out loud. And what do corporations do? They make money. And what do they make money out of? From the assets they have. And what is the biggest asset that the federal government gave to the corporations? Land. And so, and what's underneath that land? Oil and gas and other riches. And what does the federal government do? They lock up land. So we didn't ask for corporations. We asked for tribes. Tribes would have worked hand in hand with the federal government. But no. We were given corporations. And our corporations have done a lot with the many restrictions placed on what they do in their lands. A lot of people have, a lot of those companies have diversified. And so it just galls me sometimes to for those of us who live in that area, it's so disheartening because every time we try to do something, we're blocked. And so, men and especially people in Alaska depended on those resources from the very beginning. I remember working for seismic companies, and in the wintertime I was looking out for making sure that there was nothing dropping from the machines and stuff. And I was in some other place looking around, and I got a radio call and said, "Benny, I think one of our machines has a big oil leak." So I rushed over there and I went there and I looked at it and said, I looked around and looked at them and said, "You just ran over an oil seep. There are oil seeps all over the place up north. We can't even do anything to get them out because of the restrictions placed on what we do in our own lands." And I was driving my machine, my track vehicle. I was going across the river, and I fell in. I went in. I thought it was hard snow. It was a gas pocket. So I hauled out of there because, it doesn't smell. But it's bad for you, too. So, we who live off the land see this all the time. There's so much oil and gas here, but there's nothing we can do with it because the restrictions placed on us. So I get off my high horse again, and thank you for making that presentation. Any other discussion? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to share, slightly different perspective, I guess. One issue of concern for me is the lack of revenue sharing with OCS development, and that's not mentioned in this resolution. And I'm just wondering if that was intentional. Seems like a missed opportunity. Certainly there could be jobs if there was continued development, but very little in for Alaska to gain from the revenue side of things. And also just want to put on the record that according to the Department of Interior, the reason these lease sales are not happening is there's a requirement that they would be competitive lease sales. And when they issued the nomination opportunity in 2013 and 2014, so more than 2 years ago for one of the lease sales. No companies were interested in one of the leases and only one in the other. So that prohibits them from having a lease sale because it would not meet the requirement of being a competitive lease sale. To the extent that regulatory reform would change that, I hope that, we'll take our time in this committee to think about concrete things that can be done. Because I'm not sure what value we have in with this communication other than to say we're disappointed, which I think has been well communicated. And I hope we would also take the opportunity to talk to the companies themselves. Certainly low oil prices are influencing a lot of this behavior, and I think it would benefit all of us to understand those dynamics more. The outlook going forward certainly doesn't improve dramatically in the near term. And so, just feels like we're not kind of covering all the bases here if we don't also have those conversations. So a couple pieces of this, I think, have merit in terms of the lease extensions. That certainly could limit the company's abilities to think about, what they're doing in the near term, and that seems worth focusing on. But on a couple of the other issues, don't feel like we're kind of getting at the real things that need to be changed if we think it's regulatory reform, because this current administration allowed this OCS development to go forward in this past year, and And I don't think any of us could blame the administration for the failures of the Kulik and sort of the unpreparedness they were, the company was, for the Arctic waters and the damage that occurred and delayed them by a year. So wanted to get that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else?
Yeah, I thank
you. Representative Josephson.
I share my colleague's concerns. I feel very differently, mind you, about the Liberty development, which may be facing other contests, mainly because Liberty is closer to shore, I think safer to develop. I think the current administration, when you look at its willingness to look at oil development on the East Coast from Virginia down to South Carolina, the previous administration, the Bush administration, hadn't made that allowance. So I think that what's going on here is much more nuanced and complicated. Just to echo some of the things Representative Tarr said, I'm looking at an article from Fuel Fix. It's an Aramco-sponsored blog or website, and they note that when the Interior Department asked oil companies to highlight areas of interest for future Arctic sales, only one unidentified company spoke up, and that federal law does not give the Interior Department the authority to issue blanket extensions. Instead, requires companies to lay out specific development plans for drilling and developing. That statement is corroborated by the director of the American Petroleum Institute, who surely wants development, a guy named Eric Melito, who said it is not surprising that Interior canceled the remaining lease sales because there was an absence of nominations. I also think that while there's no doubt that the regulatory environment is a strict one, I think it should be a strict one. I think it would be a mistake not to have a strict one. It's not believable that Shell would invest $7 billion, not have a productive find, and say, we don't want to participate for the indefinite future. Particularly after everything they went through and all the trouble they had to invest $7 billion and say, we're done for the time being, cannot be a response to sudden regulatory change. It's much more causally a response to the failure to have a productive find. So, the other thing I would echo is this would be much more enticing if I thought we had more revenue sharing. And maybe that'll come someday. And maybe because of that, my view on this will change. But I just wanted to comment that I share Representative Tarr's concerns. Now, I will say this. I'm a big believer and booster of onshore oil and gas development. And, you know, I wasn't always in my younger years a fan of opening up Anwar. But I really, genuinely, truly am. I voted that way consistently. I think there could be a super giant there, and I think that would go a long way to curing our current financial ills. So I'm a big backer of AKLNG, but I just think that this resolution I object to it on for the reasons I've noted. That's all I'd say.
Thank you. We can go. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm very much in support of this. Would you allow me to read my press release from October 16th?
Yes, when you may.
Got this news? Thank you very much. These are heavy-handed and ill-reasoned policies fit for the big environmental lobby, and that's sad. I'm greatly concerned with their pattern of careless disregard for the people of Alaska, one short-sighted anti-Alaskan decision after another. We have decades of experience carefully and respectfully developing our resources in Alaska. We're seeing a scary and concerning shift, policy and process-wise, from our federal overlords. Instead of merely making our regulatory and permitting system a labyrinth, they're now also making decisions for the market. That should give us all cause for alarm. I feel for the people in my co-chair's region and all the contractors who did and stood to benefit from exploration, research, and development. And Mr. Chair, thank you. You hear some pretty interesting things. A good example is a competitive bid. One bidder qualifies as a competitive bidder. That's all you need is one bid. It'd be nice to have a lot, but once the bid is open and you get a bid, then you have a legitimate bid. And I do think that we have been very responsible up there. In fact, the state of Alaska, if I'm not mistaken, has the area that's 3 nautical miles straight out from low tide and has the opportunity to develop and has held off in some developments and things due to the fact that that we're concerned with the local villages up there, and we've listened to their responses when they do whaling and things. And, of course, I'm not the expert is alongside me that understands this region better than other. And even though we may have questions about our takeoff of this, and I've heard people say that this isn't connected to what we're doing right now, yet we're in the throes of trying to build an 814-mile piece of infrastructure that will get a transportation system for gas about as close to the Beaufort Sea as we're probably going to get in a long time. Now, I've seen different estimations on how much, from the geological standpoint, of how much gas there might be there, anywhere from 1.9 trillion cubic feet up to 15 trillion cubic feet. I read 15.8 trillion cubic feet in one of the ICER studies that might be right there just in the Beaufort, which is very close to where we're putting this line in. So I think this is a very appropriate resolution. I appreciate the sponsor bringing it forward, and I think the time is now to get this message very clear to people back in Washington, D.C. So thank you very much for bringing this forward, Representative Gaddis.
Thank you. Anybody else? You know, we have three agencies that we deal with when it comes to our land use and our oceans. And the three agencies are the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the BLM, and Army Corps of Engineers. Each agency is different, and how they deal with the people who live in those areas and the people who make known that they're interested in an area for exploration and or development. And I used to work for BLM in my earlier life, and I went to land school, and I know how all these agencies work, and I know what the laws are about the land use and especially with BLM land, and BLM to its to our benefit has worked closely with the communities. And And I know they have a great director there. He's still working with people in the villages. But one of the hardest things to get through, one of the hardest agencies to get anything through is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And I've dealt with this for about almost more than 30 years, close to 40 years, and they also the Army Corps engineers, but they work real hard to work with you, and so I want to remind people there's three agencies out there that also have something to say when it comes to work in those areas. Anybody else? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am thinking that we are sending a message to the administration that we want to see offshore development. I think that's appropriate. I don't want to take particular track of many of these whereases, because many of them are not even talking about the offshore. They're talking about the state's development or our procedures on Alaska lands. Rather than to get into the nuances of the interaction of fisheries or development of oil and gas in state waters, and whether Cook Inlet allows drill muds and chips to be directly disposed during exploration, only place in the United States that does that, what that would be in the North Slope. And I don't think we're really into the details of those interactions. I think that the statement that we want to make sure that we have development in a very proactive and safe manner, I think that's very appropriate. So, Mr. Chairman, I think that the overall message of urging the federal government to approve economic development for the state of Alaska is a good message. And so rather than get into any kind of amendments on some of the whereases, I'm just going to want to put on the record that I appreciate the intent of the resolution, and but not particularly saying that I agree with every statement and word in the whereases, but I don't think that's the intent of a resolution. The intent of the resolution is to send the message to the federal government. And so thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I'd like to go to public testimony now. If you are testifying, please provide your name and affiliation and limit your testimony to 3 minutes, please. Any in-house testimony? Thank you, Representative Gaddis and your staff, for making a presentation. We have Barbara Huff Tuckness from General Teamster Local 959. Thank you, Barbara. Proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes.
For the record, my name is Barbara Huff Tuckness. I'm the Director of Governmental and Legislative Affairs for Teamsters Local 959. And I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee for the opportunity to come before you this morning and speak in support of HJR 301. On behalf of our Teamster members, especially those that work in the oil and gas industry, we strongly support HJ 301. We also thank the sponsor, Representative Gaddis, for bringing it forward this morning. This resolution opposes the recent decision of our D.C. administration to cancel future lease sales in the Chukchi and the Beaufort Sea. At least one economic study estimates, and this was one that we had looked at probably about a year ago, estimates the development of the Arctic OCS oil and gas resources could produce at least 54,000 jobs. And no, that's not in the state of Alaska, unfortunately, but from a national perspective in opening up all those available economics. With that, you would also be looking at probably about an annual payroll of $72 billion. Any of these projects put more oil in our pipeline, or gas if we ever get to a gas pipeline. It will also provide a huge economic opportunity for many of our Alaskans that live and work in the northern village regions. We've been actually doing some training in some of those villages and hopefully giving an opportunity for more of our rural Alaskans in working in the oil and gas industry as well. We strongly support the environmental safe oil and gas development. The hydrocarbon potential in the Chukchi and the Beaufort Seas represents a third of the world in the United States in particular, as far as oil and gas resources. It also represents a generation, at least from our perspective, of our future children and grandchildren in job opportunities within Alaska for all Alaskans. As the Arctic evolves and the economic opportunities are developed in Alaska and abroad, we as Teamsters welcome those new Alaskan jobs and those Alaskan opportunities within those particular regions, not only in those areas, but also opening up some of the local port areas, again, in some of our northern communities. For these reasons, we support HJ 301 and thank the committee again for hearing and for the sponsor and introducing. I also brought in this morning, probably everybody has seen the article, Shell Leaves Door Open for Future Exploration in Alaska's Arctic. It's dated November 2nd. The article itself talks about, and there was a comment regarding earlier, if I may proceed, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
About the number of leases. Currently, Shell has 275 leases in the Chukchi, C, even though the Interior Department has rejected Shell's bid to extend the duration of its Buford and Chukchi Sea leases, which otherwise expire between 2017 and 2020. So, again, I think we have lots of economic opportunities in our state. I think we have a bright future, and, again, I thank you for hearing the resolution.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Anybody else in-house? I have any testifiers on the phone? Any testifiers from the LIOs? We have off-net testifiers. We have Kara Moriarty, Anchorage, Alaska Oil and Gas Association. Ms. Moriarty, are you there?
Yes, Representative Nagyak, this is Kara. Can you hear me?
Proceed, please, yes.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Kara Moriarty, and I'm the President and CEO for the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. I just want to officially go on record that as a professional trade association for the industry here in Alaska, we do support this resolution for a lot of the reasons that have already been mentioned. The Arctic has made a resource, and just because Shell has decided not to proceed in 2016 with their investment, I think just as Ms. Huff-Technis just pointed out, they're not giving up those leases and that there is still interest in the Arctic. I think that this, again, highlights the strength of the state's area-wide leasing program. The state's leasing program is predictable, it's reliable, it's consistent. Sometimes the state will only have one bidder, and then sometimes you'll have a whopping lease sale like we had just recently on the North Slope. But the lease sale process in the state is consistent, it's reliable, and it's predictable, and it's something that industry very much needs. And because when you start and stop lease sales, it sends a message that maybe the government is not that interested in truly developing the Arctic. So we were very discouraged when the Department of Interior decided to cancel the scheduled lease sales for 2016 and 2017. So the only thing I would add that hasn't been mentioned is, you know, regarding oil price, I think Shell has been very clear that oil price did not play into their decision. If they had proceeded, we wouldn't have seen production for 12 to 15 years, and we can't even accurately predict oil prices for 12 to 15 months, let alone, you know, 12 to 15 years. So this is a long-term prospect for Alaska, but something when you look for Alaska and for the country's energy security, something that's necessary. So we do hope the federal government reconsiders that decision, and we appreciate Senator Stoltz starting this and the other body, as well as Representative Gaddis for introducing this resolution in the House. And thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Any questions? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Kara. Just wondering, because federal law prohibits the sales, because their definition of competitive sales require that there be more than one interested party, are you working with our congressional delegation to have that changed, or what do you see as the opportunity for addressing that?
Thank you, Representative Tarr, through the chair. Yes, our congressional delegation is working on a host of changes to make this process a stronger process, including revenue sharing. And, you know, you had mentioned that as well. I think you've even seen since the announcement that Shell was not coming back in 2016 that Senator Rutkowski is continuing to advocate for revenue sharing as the chair of the Energy Committee. So I know she's working on a host of things to that committee as well as others. So there are things that can be done, and I just think it just sends a message that when you cancel resale like this, it sends a message that you really are not interested, because some of those things I think could have proceeded without that. So I just appreciate the fact that the legislature wants to go on record along with many others that Alaskans do support OCS development.
Follow up,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess it just seems like something that the Republican leadership in Congress would be interested in. Do you have any idea why, you know, something like that wouldn't move forward?
Representative Tarr, through the chair, I can't speak to that directly. That's a question you would need to ask, you know, our United States Senator.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you, Carol, for your testimony. And next we have Doug Gardner and Juno, who's a legislative legal, and he wanted to testify. Mr. Gardner?
Representative Nagiak, for the record, this is Doug Gardner, Director of Legal Services. I was online to answer questions at the request of the sponsor. I don't have anything that I would add unless a member of the committee has a question.
Any questions? Thank you very much. We're now closing public testimony. Are there any further committee discussion or questions? If it's the will of the committee today, we'll move H.A.R. 301 from committee. Mr. Kocher, I'd entertain a motion to move H.A.R. 301 version W as amended with individual recommendation and attached fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to move House Joint Resolution 301. It is number 29-LS1169-W from committee with attached fiscal note and personal recommendations.
Representative from Sedin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just an objection for a point. It was stated that the moving from committee as amended, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't amend the bill, so it's moving in its original form. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remove any objection.
So what is the wish of the committee? Any opposition? All right, the motion passes. Is there any further business for the committee today? Thank you to Representative Gaddis and her staff for presenting today. Thank you, Senator Stoltz, for making the bill move forward. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the committee report. We're final note before we adjourn. The House Resources Committee will meet again this afternoon at 3:30 p.m. here in room 106 to consider CSS JR 301. If there is no further business for the committee, we are all adjourned at 8:53 a.m.